You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I would just like to start off the show. Well, I should probably introduce you, Parrot. How are you doing?
I was doing okay until you snubbed me as the co-host of today's Daily Traditionalist.
Yes, the co-host of The Daily Traditionalist.
Yes.
Glad to be able to have you here. But I just want to start off the show by doing a little quick wrap-up of the Atlanta Forum that I was at this weekend. It was absolutely amazing time. It was standing room only at the event, which is a good problem to have. So, of course, during every break, then you play musical chairs a little bit. But it was great. A special shout out to some of our members and my daily listeners. There were several guys that came up to me and who listened to the show, and they said they're religious, fanatical listeners. And also, we had some of our party members there. So that was a really exciting thing to be able to see, really to kind of use as an opportunity to discuss about what we're going to be doing in the South over the upcoming year, providing opportunities for networking. The speeches were great. Musonius Rufus, of course, he and Michael Cushman were the chief organizers. They both gave excellent speeches, absolutely out of the park. Sam Dixon was there. Many of you have attended American Renaissance, have heard Mr. Dixon speak. He gave a very good, very passionate speech. And I was able to be on one of we did a panel. After the speeches, we did a panel in which I was able to participate. And we were able to do question and answer from the audience. So we had some young guys. The youngest was, I believe, 17. So we've got high school students coming out, getting involved, and asking one of the young guys' question was what he can do to get involved. And that is such an inspirational thing, to see our youth engaging, bringing things together. And we had so many great conversations and such good times. Everything from urban farming and ways to be able to, even if you live in a city, to be able to take a quarter of an acre plot and be able to do farming on it in an organic, sustainable way, to talking about what we're going to be doing in terms of activism, what we're going to be doing in terms of podcasts, articles, book publications coming out. Oh, and Brad Griffin, of course, of Oxalm Descent, who I consider a good personal friend of mine. He gave an amazing speech as well. It was great to be able to see him there. It was just an amazing time. And the anti-fascists couldn't figure out where the event was being held. So they ended up milling around a park for a couple hours, yelling at trees and passerbys. So that was a hilarious sort of just cherry on top of a wonderful Sunday of the entire event, that they think they're so big, they think they're so bad, they think they're so smart. And no, they aren't. But yelling at trees is what they do for fun.
Well, from the numbers I saw, even if they had located you guys, I don't think it would have went all that well for them.
No, it would have been bad news bears. And of course, we in the Churchill's Worker Party had some of our guys doing door security. And that's one of the abilities that we have in terms of networking and activists, to be able to find needs and to be able to fill them, to make sure we can all as a movement cooperate together and be as effective as possible. So they never would have made it past the door. And that's the Lord's truth. So Matt Parrott, some crazy things happening in Canada. Do you want to, I hear you... you had an initial theory on what was going on based on what the news was telling us.
Well, the mainstream media is reporting it was indeed Matthew Forney. an associate of mine has been instigating right-wing death squads in Quebec City, of all places. There were two. It was Forney and his associate, his cohort in violence, Davis Arini. Some of you are familiar with both of those madmen. And
Sam Hyde was the getaway driver, right?
Yeah. Sam Hyde was the getaway driver from early reports I'm seeing on Twitter, which are being passed along to mainstream media who are reporting them as serious.
It was actually, I hate to break this to you, Parrot. I know this is going to be very hard for you to understand, that the mainstream media relies more on trolling tweets than facts. But in fact, it was a Moroccan that yelled Allahu Akbar, not Matt Forney.
Wait, that can't be right, because... Trudeau explained that diversity is our strength and the immigrants aren't the problem. It's racist white people. So
I know this is very hard to comprehend for those of us at the Daily Traditionalist, Radio Area, and the Daily Stormer. All of us seem to take a deep breath and realize, but no, in fact, it looks like for the first time in human history, It was third worlders instigating violence. I don't know how this happened, because truly diversity is our greatest strength. It's supposed to make our country great and supposed to make it vibrant. And the Anglosphere is better off for having all these people here from around the world with competing ideologies, religions, and value systems that can't coexist within our society in a Western framework. But by golly, against all odds, it looks like it's pointing towards, in fact, it was a recently relocated individual. We're still trying to figure out now if it was a refugee or just someone who settled in Canada, which I think the rule for coming to Canada is you just say you want to go and Trudeau lets you in because he loves refugees. But no, the mainstream media lied. I hate to tell you that.
So you're saying that mere hours after Trudeau posted on Twitter, "To those fleeing persecution, terror, and war, Canada will welcome you regardless of your faith. Diversity is our strength." That was his tweet. And just hours after that, Islamic terrorists attacked other Muslims in Canada.
Whackity schmackity do.
Most likely refugees or at least immigrants. That's,
it boggles the mind. It's almost like, could you imagine if Angela Merkel had been at an event for refugees, celebrating the diversity of Germany, celebrating resettling over 2 million of these people into Germany, that her citizens would be run down by a radical Islamic terrorist in a truck, killing families and children. Could you imagine how crazy that would be if this would be the second Western leader in mere weeks who, on the day that they're out promoting diversity and their open borders policy, that their citizens would be struck down in the streets? That would absolutely delegitimize the entire narrative of totally displacing and destroying Western civilization and Western people.
Well, after the attack, Trudeau tweeted, "It is heart-wrenching to see such senseless violence. Diversity is our strength, and religious tolerance is a value that we, as Canadians, hold dear."
I don't think they told the new Canadians. They did not get the memo in Arabic, unfortunately.
he continues, "Muslim Canadians," and that's not a contradiction in terms, "are an important part of our national fabric." They just showed up last Thursday and are already an important part of the national fabric.
They're contributing already.
Yeah, and these senseless acts have no place in our communities, cities, and country. Canadian law enforcement agencies will protect the rights of all Canadians. So far, you're not at 100% on that one.
Well, they're contributing to crime statistics. So there is that. They are already contributing. We must admit that.
"And we'll make every effort," except for any effort that might actually help, "to apprehend the perpetrators of this act and all acts of intolerance."
Is it intolerance if Muslims kill other Muslims?
I don't know if that's intolerance.
I've seen, and all of this, of course, with breaking news, we do a live show. There's a lot of information coming out, so we're going to have to sort through it as it comes out. But I've seen some news outlets have been saying that it's possible that these gentlemen that did the shooting were affiliated with a sect of Islam that's viewed as heretical by both Shias and Sunnis. So we'll have to continue to watch that. But if that is the case, then a case of Muslim-on-Muslim violence. That's a little surprising.
It's all very confusing. I think we need to ban Matt Forney from Canada until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
What is going on? Yeah. We need control.
Just until we figure out, once.
Well, I mean, the entire thing is just absolutely out of control. And this is going to be happening in the West. No matter what these guys' motivation were, when you walk into a place at a time of prayer and you shout Allahu Akbar. Now, look, I've got a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's. I don't have a doctorate. But I think I can ascertain from the evidence, if you're yelling Allahu Akbar as shell casings are hitting the ground and you're shooting people, there might be an Islamic terrorist reason for what you're doing. Trudeau says otherwise, and he is the Prime Minister of Canada. Could one truly believe that a leader of a free nation like Canada could be so out of touch with reality he could make asinine statements like that with absolutely zero evidence or zero reason to believe what he's saying?
I think it might just be possible, and just about all of the world leaders right now are on crack cocaine. except for Donald Trump, who's done so much crack cocaine in the 80s, he's immune to it.
What they actually need is they need to have, oh man, what was the Canadian the mayor's name? Rob Ford. Rob Ford.
I bet Ford wouldn't put up with this crap.
If Ford had been Prime Minister,
he'd charge Adam himself.
Well, he'd get his black gangbanger buddies that he smoked crack with, He would clear out these radical Islamic terrorists in like 5 seconds. The black gangs are the ones with the guns up in Canada. So that would have solved the problem right then and there.
It's tragic that Canada's very own Donald Trump fell short, passed away before his time.
But man, Rob Ford was great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in terms of all of his policies, I wrote an article about how based he was in terms of. He did not give two craps for political correctness when it came to immigration. He, you know what? If my mayor or my leader was going to make my streets safer, was going to invest in infrastructure, was going to challenge the political left, if he smoked crack cocaine, is that much of a big deal?
Well, the important thing
is the fattest crackhead I've ever seen in my life, for the record. That is, he was absolutely the fattest crackhead in the history of the world.
Well, he was the first man in history to finally have the courage to say what everyone is thinking, which is speaking up against bicyclists.
Didn't he call them fags or something?
Yeah, I mean, they're riding around the street. They make everything unsafe. They don't abide any of the rules.
They're pretentious.
They're pretentious. They're smug. A lot of them are out of shape, though they're in better shape than we are, I suppose.
My car doesn't care.
Yeah, and then when you run into them, even when they're breaking the rules and going half the speed, it's always your fault.
He's a man to be remembered throughout
history.
He's a man
against time.
The hero that Canada needed, but they chose Justin Trudeau, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm against the globalists and I'm against the Jewish oligarchs, but these bicyclists.
The real problem.
The bicycle menace.
We must answer the bicyclist question. The bicycle question. I mean, it just goes to show how out of touch these politicians are. And I was watching Generation Identity, and Austria had an event that ended up with like scuffles and fights and stuff like that, with doing a mock ISIS execution, showing what is going to happen if you bring all these people in here to your borders, especially as America and Russia are actually working together to bomb ISIS now. That's a nice change over the last 4 years. But saying that, hey, the caliphate's falling apart. These people are going to come somewhere, and the door's open. Maybe that's not the best idea, guys. What do you think? And it was absolutely hilarious. So as this is happening, the shooting in Canada, as we see terror attacks, I was just reading an article about another refugee rape against a child in Germany. Horrific things are going on. And so as people are dying, and kids are getting raped. Like, kids are absolutely, like, actually getting raped. Women are getting sexually assaulted. Terror attacks are happening on a frequent basis. And they still had Austrians, not just Muslims, but Austrians shouting, say it loud, say it clear, refugees are welcome here. Are these people out of their gosh darn minds? Because if they've lost their minds, we can help them find them.
I'd like to buy the world a home, furnish it with love, apple trees and honeybees, and yeah,
try. Allahu Akbar! Boom!
And systematic child rape.
Grooming gangs and terrorists. It makes the West the West.
Yeah, well, this hyper feminine cuckoldry thing where Trudeau just keeps talking about love, but that's not love. You know, love has its eyes open. When you close your eyes to these things, you become, you know, a facilitator to evil.
In what world are we in that you can honestly look to the Canadians who have been there, who settled that nation, who built that nation, and just be like, I don't know about that. I think I just want to replace you. I really think you just need to go.
Well, I also think they need to go. I was just thinking more in terms of like an American like cheeseburger battalion like sweeping in there and you know, annexing manifest it. Destiny. Yeah, finishing what we started in 1812.
I mean, I think the British have a better claim to finish that they should come and finish what they started in 1812. I think the American invasion of Canada lasted about 3 weeks and it didn't end so hot. But they would never be able to take down Donald Trump's Washington, D.C.
That's what I'm saying. It's our time to strike. You know, Trudeau is weak. Canada is weak.
Very low America, energy.
America strong. You know,
so Canada's immigration policy, sad.
Yeah, sad. Yeah, there's so much oil up there, so much natural resources.
So many moose.
Arboreal, yeah. Oh, it's incredible. And the Arctic drilling rights, my goodness, right there.
Canada absolutely blows my mind that as a country, there is so much of it, yet so little in it. No offense to my Canadian listeners, to my Canadian comrades. Love you guys. You're the best. But 90% of the Canadian population lives within 100 miles of the U.S. border. If some map maker just got drunk one day and drew the line just a tiny bit off, then we would annex effectively the entire population of Canada outside of, like, Unabomber types.
Well, but the cool Canadians are that minority of Canadians who live out in the Mountain West and out in the prairie.
That's true. We need to be able to that's make the Northwest great again.
Yeah, there are some based Canadians.
That's true. They're just totally. Oh man, their situation's so bad. I was watching
a badass cowboy types, but they constantly get pushed around by the cucks over on the East Coast.
Same in America.
Yeah.
Although speaking of cucks and our West Coast, or also known as the Left Coast, also known as the land of where white people don't live anymore, Calexit. I'm so excited about this. They're actually collecting signatures now for Calexit. The American Empire is taking one step closer to destruction. Because the great thing about Calexit, first of all, demographics. In California, they count on a lot of the census data, Arabs, different populations, and Hispanics as being white. So when you talk about white people in California, the numbers are officially lying because they don't have the proper census data. Whites are already fleeing the state by the millions. And unfortunately, so many like liberal ones have destroyed, you know, through their supportive immigration policies, have destroyed the land and now we're going to great states like Montana and Idaho. But if California leaves, the I think it's like 50-some-odd representative seats would be opened up to be redistributed amongst like real America. Of course, the two Senate seats disappear that are Democrat. And demographically, oh man, if we could build a wall on, you know, to California, that would be the best. That would wall in a huge part of the demographic overspill that of Hispanics that are then flooding into the American West. So
here's a plot twist for you. California secedes, and then the minority of white people who are in California are fucking badasses. And they drive all the Mexicans back into Mexico, drive all the foreigners into the sea, and that becomes our white republic.
That would be some M. Night Shyamalan stuff right there. That's the twist I don't see coming.
There's no federal government to stop them, right?
No civil rights legislation over here. I'm going to do a video about it.
Death squads rolling through Beverly Hills.
I'm so excited. I 100% support Calexit. Calexit is the best. Break apart the American Empire. And just wall those people off. I mean, 55 electoral votes. Like, if you think about the white power when it comes to the ballot box to actually change America in a proper direction, losing Canada would definitely make things very exciting. Because that 55 votes, Montana has, like...
What do you mean, California?
California?
You said Canada.
Canada.
It's not
now I'm stuck on... Now I'm thinking that we own Canada.
Canada's not actually a state, Heimbach.
It's not?
No, it's technically a separate country.
More of America's hat, I suppose. Yeah. It's not an appendage, but it is attached to us.
Yeah, it was actually... It actually was part of the United Kingdom. It was actually not an independent country until, like, a few weeks before I was born. It's been a country my whole life, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, it's still part of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But is South Africa still part of the Commonwealth?
I don't know. I think so. I'm not sure.
That's bad news. That needs to go.
Oh well, it ain't my business.
But if we lose California, those 55 electoral votes, that would have to be redistributed, and that would really empower the white population of America to be able to actually have more of a say. Because you could win Montana. I swear they've got like one or two electoral votes. It's not a lot. You can win Montana all day long. I love Montana. The best people in Montana. But not so much of a say. Middle America, for a very long time, you know, which is majority white rural America, has not had a say due to New York and California. So if one of those cancerous, gangrenous limbs was chopped off and they got to go do their thing and we just built a giant, beautiful wall, the best wall between us and the new California Republic, that would pretty much really leapfrog us forward in being able to, I hate to say this because I'm a secessionist, but we might actually be able to make America great again to some degree.
Well, all kinds of things are possible, but I just
despise... It would secure Donald Trump's second term. That's the Lord's
well,
truth.
Yeah, but I just despise planning ahead too much on these because somebody ends up, like, losing and somebody ends up, you know, like, well, your hometown, I'm going to give it to, like, Chinese people or, you know, all this stuff. It's not constructive. Like, California was 0% white just a few decades ago, right?
Well, I think it's been maybe a few generations, but sure.
It's been a few generations, but, you know, these demographics aren't set in stone. So, I mean, yeah, Calexit does present a real opportunity, but I mean, I'm going to be on the side of white folks, you know, in Calexico too.
Well, I mean, if they could also support the creation of the state of Jefferson, if Northern California was able to secede and stay part of the Union, then we'd be able to keep our 50 state thing. We'd have to change the flags. That would be a real big pain in the butt. And then we keep the white majority in the North. That's like good rural, normal white people.
It's just so beautiful.
I know.
We need a neutron bomb California to start over.
See, the problem is, you know, I'm going to comment on that, but it's part of my SPLC hate profile. We were talking about California like 3 years ago, and I was like, California is great if it wasn't for all the Mexicans. And that's, of all the things I've said, that's the one that, one of the things they decided to roll with. But, you know, it does provide an opportunity, balkanization, and even if they got a referendum and say it didn't pass, if 40, 45, 49% of Californians wanted to be independent of evil, racist, white America, then it sets in motion a movement to really balkanize the American empire from both the left and the right. So it provides a really exciting potential.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for Calexico. It's a tremendous polarization opportunity. I just don't want to give up hope on California, like, after Calexico. Like, I could see some really cool stuff happening after the federal government's out of the picture there. So
the insane world of which first of all, you know, as a fan of the Fallout series, being able to have the new California Republic would be pretty exciting. I hope they adopt a double-headed radioactive bear as their symbol. But a weird thing, because I am a secessionist and I do support independence for peoples. But at the same time, if President Trump called upon 100,000 volunteers to go and march into California to keep it as part of the Union and clean out all the riffraff. Man, talk about conflicted there. I mean, that's a conflicting feeling for me right now. you know, the people in the state of Jefferson have been dreaming about that, of just like marching all the way down to Mexico to get some political justice for what they've had to live under for the last several decades.
Right.
And they wouldn't have any, what would California defend themselves with? The gangbangers and LA's weapons? Because they don't even allow anything more than like a 5-round mag, or it's either 5 or 10 rounds. Canada's 5 rounds, I know that. But can't even have any cool stuff in California. All you have is illegal immigration. And, well, you know, speaking of the breakup of the American empire, so the Irish mayor of Boston was all about, like, you know, if Donald Trump goes ahead and goes after illegal immigrants, we will even hide them in City Hall. We will use City Hall as like a refugee camp to hide them. In New England, of course, the Puritans are there. Liberalism really grew there and has been there since the very beginning. I mean, what do you think? We've got protests at thousands and thousands of people at airports all around America going on yesterday and today. We've got all this sorts of disobedience in the streets, riots with cops and things like that. I mean, what do you see as the future of the American Republic? I know you don't like to look into the future, but given that New England and California really seem to be getting pretty ballsy, it's kind of funny to me. The federal government, of course, was like shooting militia guys in like the 80s for not wanting to pay their income tax. And now we've got giant states that are larger than most European nations saying they might not pay federal taxes. I mean, we're entering a very exciting age of American politics.
Well, I know what you're saying, but like, you see these things like, you know, the Golden State skinheads out in Sacramento. Like, who would have thought that the Bay Area, of all places, would be an area where we could actually, where our people could actually stand and fight and win? Who would have thought that a webcam set up in downtown New York City would actually have this uprising of youths on our side?
And based Asians. Don't forget the based Asians.
They're on our side. Those based Asians, you know, a lot of those people, kind of mystery meat looking kids, they're for the alt-right. They're for poll. They're for Donald Trump.
Hitler
did nothing wrong. And yeah, quote that out of context. I'll say it more cleanly. Hitler did nothing wrong. So you can chop that up right there.
I want to make that my ringtone. When you call me next time, it's just going to be, Hitler did nothing wrong. Hitler did nothing wrong. Oh, it's Matt Parrott. Well, I mean, oh man, Shia LaBeouf. He hasn't been back since he got arrested. So it's just been, I mean, it's pretty much abandoned, especially in the evenings. And to be able to see so many alt-right people in New York City, of all godforsaken places.
I was watching it last night. Like, there was some some autistic dude, bro. If you're listening, I love you, guy. He was actually reading out of Mein Kampf, just standing there with like snot on his nose. Yeah, running out of his nose, totally fedora looking goofy guy. But I love him. He was sitting there just reading Hitler's statements on the Jews of Vienna straight out of Mein Kampf.
That's amazing.
And then he read Ezra Pound's On Money, and he was just, no one else was there. So he was just kind of using it as his platform for spreading fascism. And I'm not talking about like gonzo fascism either. I'm talking about like the ideological basics of National Socialist worldview.
You know, there's like some leftist like in Portland screaming at a screen, just going, no, no, stop it. Someone stop the madness.
Hebes will not divide us.
Hebes will not divide us.
Hebes that's, will not divide us.
Okay, that's actually our next show is just going to be us rocking back and forth going, Hebes will not divide us.
Will not divide us. Yeah.
Well, you see that other guy that had the George Soros, I think it was Soros, with in the you know, with the echoes around it saying, he will not divide us.
Yeah, that guy was Asian. Yeah.
It's the best.
Well, the best Asian was the one who got the math equation, like 62 times 28 or whatever multiplies out to, and you have to be like, oh, wait, 1488.
I love it.
So, you know, and seeing what's really funny is you're seeing the racial segregation there because they don't trust any white dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only people who are allowed to get close to the camera are, you know, non-whites, and a lot of them are fascist too, right? So... You know, Shia, he's literally crying. There's very few times in politics where you can just say, like, my opponent is crying right now.
Weeping. Gnashing of teeth, rending of garments.
So his experiment to try to unite everybody has just created, like, this voyeuristic peephole to watch all the division playing out in real time with these individuals coming up and disagreeing with each other online.
It's great.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, the breakdown of social cohesion is a good thing. And, you know, to all of our Asian comrades that are fighting against the international Jew and fighting for their nations and for their peoples, you know, Banzai. That's...
Yeah, Banzai.
May the code of Bushido once again rise in the Far East. Let's make the Far East great again. That's... Oh, actually, funny thing. So, at the Atlanta Forum, it was great. Brad Griffin was talking about about
leaving. You mean Hunter Wallace?
Hunter Wallace, yes. Well, you know, he doxed himself.
Yeah, he's self-doxed. Yeah.
But the great thing about the rise of nationalism around the world, and when he mentioned our friend in the Philippines, Roddy the Punisher Duterte, he got the largest round of applause the entire forum. Rodrigo Duterte, for his cleaning up the streets, Duterte, your local drug dealer, freaking dude, got the large, I mean, literally everyone. Anyway, standing ovation. Standing ovation on the mention of Rodrigo Duterte, the best. That sort of sentiment is such an important thing to see in our movement about solidarity with fellow nationalists, fighting the internationalists together, and supporting them in their nations.
Fighting degeneracy.
Fighting degeneracy one day at a time. And he was like, why don't we just kill five of them a week? You know, it just shows people that we're doing our thing. Rodrigo Duterte, he did nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong, and he'll do nothing wrong tomorrow.
Well, and he did call out the Catholic Church for trying to stop his cleanup campaign, which I thought was hilarious. Because, of course, we support Christianity, we support traditional values, all that great stuff. But the church needs to start churching, and the politics need to start politicking.
Well, I supporting Christianity means opposing the current institutions, in my opinion.
True story. So everything's great. I mean, the Atlanta Forum, California's breaking apart, the rise of nationalism in the United States amongst whites and non-whites, very wacky stuff. And the cops took the Black Panthers' weapons at a recent protest. They were breaking the law, should have arrested them, but took a bunch of their guns, which I think is hilarious in and of itself. Because I support real black nationalists, but those dudes talk about killing white people. Not cool with that.
Okay,
not okay.
Yeah. Well, that's so, the thing.
Please take their guns.
That's the thing with these other nationalist groups is some of them are going to fall off board and actually be on the opposing side with this stuff, like wanting to be anti-Trump and pro-globalist because they think they're being anti-white. You know, there's some nationalists who are anti-white and some nationalists who are anti-globalist. And steadily, we're going to see which side these people fall on.
Wheat from the chaff right there.
Yeah, and the ones who just want to go around being anti-white and globalist and Jew-friendly, they're going to be on the other side of the barricade.
I'm making a list, checking it twice. Gotta find out who's naughty or nice. Good stuff. I love it. Matt Parrott, we're coming to the end of our show. Very high energy to start off the week. Give us a spectacular final thought to send our listeners off with. Other than the visual image of Shia LaBeouf weeping in his penthouse, like naked on the floor with a bottle of whiskey in front of him, just absolutely crying his eyes out, claw marks on his body, and just his neighbors hearing just nothing but muffled screams throughout the night. Besides that, what image can you leave us with?
The image of Starbucks saying it's going to fire up to or greater than 10,000 American employees in order to make room for its 10,000 refugees that it promises to hire in the next 5 years.
Man, those moments when I'm looking at the anarchists and the people that I loathe, like, busting open a Starbucks window, and I'm like, all right.
Starbucks now, can't catch a break.
Well, they pick the worst side on everything.
The anarchists are, like, breaking their window, and they're still like, okay, anarchists, here, have some free coffee through the broken window, and by the way, we're going to serve your agenda, and you're still going to attack us. I guess my heart goes out to the Starbucks management leadership all the way down to the barista for just losing on every single front.
Also crying.
Yeah.
Right next to Shia, the CEO of Starbucks is crying too. They're holding each other. It's a very disgusting, homoerotic, Jewy mess right there.
Yeah.
But Matt Parrott, thank you so much for being my co-host.
Oh, yes.
And thank you to all my listeners. Again, thank you to all the comrades that I met at the Atlanta Forum, including our party members and our listeners. I love being here. It was a great time. And remember, engage in your local Daily Stormer book club. Get involved in your local organizations, because fraternity, getting to meet up with people, one of the best elements out of all of this. So, guys, it's amazing. Thank you again, Matt Parrott. And I look forward to being here tomorrow. So have a great day, guys, and hail victory.
Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.